Our Father in heaven, a little promise, John 6:63, my words are spirit, my words are life. Without you, there's no life in anything we're going to share. So I'd invite your presence in our hearts as we try to share a few things that would bring encouragement and hope to your people. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I came here last year, my first trip to Uchi Pines, my son Ashwin, some of you know Ashwin, I was telling him how quiet the place was. And he told me, you know, it's quiet until the machine guns go off. Huh? Because Fort Benning just happens to be not too far away. And so one day I was out walking on the trail and I heard the machine guns. Well, I was in the military, 75, 76, 77, and 78. And a time or two I was at Fort Benning. And so I was on the other side back then. John 18:36. My kingdom is not in Fort Benning, right? If my kingdom were in Fort Benning, my servants would fight with machine guns. And that's not where his kingdom is. And so when I got called from that kingdom into this kingdom, what a change. Isn't that true? Is it a night and day change to leave that kingdom and come into the Uchi Piner kingdom? What a change. And then, so when I got here, not just here, I mean into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, it was a great change for me. Remember John 18, verse 11, he told Peter to do what? Put up the sword. Why? 26:52 of Matthew, if you live by the sword, you perish. It says, King James, you perish by the sword. Now, if you asked me back then in 78 who the enemy is, we'd have said the North Vietnamese or the Russians or the, we had a list. Now, come over to Uchi Pines, it's a different kingdom. Who's the enemy, friend? Steps to Christ, page 43. The warfare against blank is the greatest battle you'll ever fight. Self. And the problem over there, you kill somebody dead and they're dead. But the problem over here, 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. It keeps coming back up. You got to kill it every day. And now, you help me as we go along, because I don't have long. The problem with dying to self, self dies hard. Thank you. Self dies hard. So I was reading in James chapter 4. The subject is humbling yourself. So James 4, Matthew 18. If you got a Bible, one finger in James 4, one finger in Matthew 18. In James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Now pause. Then there's a comma. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. John 15, verse 5, without me ye can do nothing. I said, Lord, I can't humble myself without you. Would you agree? Because without him, you can't do anything. I said, please give me some help. Now, James 4, verse 10, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, comma, and he shall lift you up. Is that health ministry there? Yeah. Acts 3, verse 6, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do what? Rise up and walk. Now, Acts 3, verse 7, and Peter, say it louder. And, say it, and lifted him up. That's health ministry. Now, John 12, 32, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto you. We lifted him up on the cross. He lifts us up and puts us back on our feet. Would you agree? That's a bum deal. I came out of that army where you push people down to this army where we what? By God's grace, lift people up. My subject this morning, failure. Failure. That's the subject this morning, failure. Now, Matthew 18, verse 2. Jesus took a child and set it in the midst of the people, the disciples. What was his point? Verse 3, unless you be what? Help me. Now, you got to be like a little child. You got to be converted and become as a little child or what? You can't see the kingdom of God. Now, you tell me in verse 4, what was the quality that child had that Jesus desired them to have? Sure, trust, yes. But the word that's used in verse 4 is humble. James 4, verse 10, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. I tell you, without him, I can't. Does the Lord answer prayer when it comes from your heart? Amen. I said, Lord, I'm the opposite of humble. I'm the opposite. Have mercy, 18:13 Luke. God be merciful to me, eh? I said, help me. Now, is that a prayer God delights to answer?
Amen.
Amen. So there's one little statement this morning I want to study. It's Gospel Workers, the 1892 edition. It's on page 320. There is with many an icy chilliness, a reserve like that of the Pharisees, which must be broken down. Before he can lift you up, sometimes he has to break you down. Isn't that true? Was Peter broken down before Christ lifted him up? Was Paul broken down before Christ lifted him up? Now, the Lord, to break down the barriers, that was a master at that. John 4, verse 7. Who's he talking to? Samaritan woman. Where are they at? Jacob's well. A master at breaking down the wall of prejudice. He looked at that Samaritan woman, sent his disciples away. Lunchtime, right? He cleared the playing field so he could reach a soul. Because they added to the partition. They didn't break it down. Christ said, I'm going to break this thing down. And what did he say to her in verse 7? Yeah, give me a drink. Yeah, give me a drink. And she said, huh? Wait a minute. Verse 9. You being a what? Ask me being a what? For a drink of water? Comma, what's the next part say? The Jews have no dealings with us. Was the Lord in the process of breaking down that icy wall of partition? Yes. Did he do it? Yes. Did she have five husbands? Yes. Did she leave changed? Yes. Was she a great evangelist for the gospel? Yes. Did you forget her water pot? Yes. John 8, 10 and 11. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Was there a wall of partition between the prostitutes and the priests? Yes. Oh, yes. Did he break down the wall? No man. Doth no man accuse thee? No man, Lord. And then what did he say? Neither do I. I'm going to crumble down that wall. Go in what? He's talking to her like a friend. And he wants to talk to us. I got a friend, Proverbs 18:24, that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you? And does he delight to hear that prayer? Lord, I need help to be humble. Come on. See, nobody else probably needs that help, do you? And nobody said anything in the Uchi Piner Church. So, first time it happened, it was New York. It was Queens. And, I tell you, the last time it happened was last night. I'll share that in. That was last night. The last time, one of the first times I remember is in Queens. By the way, let me define hillbilly. You know what hillbilly means, right? It's not a negative term. It's got a bad connotation. Hillbilly means somebody that lives in the hills. That's all it means, the hills. Specifically in the southern United States. I was sitting there, the first elder sitting beside me. It's on the platform in a church in Queens. He looks at me and says, Dr. Keith? And he asked me a question. In the bulletin, it said Dr. Keith. I leaned over. I said, brother, I'm not a doctor. He looked at me. I leaned over again. I said, I'm a hillbilly from Tennessee. He looked at me. And then that man leaned over. By the way, have you ever been in a church where there was some icy formality? Everybody's dressed right. We say what's right. We do what's right. We look right. We smell right. Everything's right. But there's an icy formality with many. A reserve like that of the Pharisees, which must be broken down. Gospel Workers 3:20, 1892 version. He looked at me, leaned over, and said, so am I. That's what he said. So am I. He was from Jamaica, the hills of Jamaica, I guess Mandeville. So did that break the ice? Yes, it broke the ice. Often the Lord uses failure to break the ice. Would you agree? Now, before I say anything else, Proverbs 24:16, a just man falls seven times and he does what? But when he rises up again, that's grace. Would you agree? The only thing that keeps you rising back up is grace. He falls seven times and rises back up again. As long as you keep rising back up again, the Lord will finish the good work, Philippians 1:6, that he started in you. Isn't that true? Keep rising back up. 1 John 2, verse 1, if you fall, don't sin, you little children, but if you do, we have an, with the Father, what's his name?
Jesus.
Christ the righteous. And he lifts us back up. I said, Lord, I need to be humbled. Is that a dangerous prayer? Yeah, my dear brother, you know that's a dangerous prayer, don't you? Now, before we get to the end, let me say two or three things. Because I got to stop at lunchtime. Because I know those of them in Uchi Pines, when the lunch bell hits, that's it, right? Right? Okay. The disciples, did they need an adjustment regarding humility? Did Jesus do it in John 13? Thank you. John 13:13. You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Now here it comes. If I, about 13 verse 4, he took a towel and did what? Girded himself. And then he did the job to break down that wall of partition, that icy formality. He broke it down and ground it in the dust. And ye say well, for so I am. If I, your Lord Master, have washed your feet, you ought to what? And then the incredible statement, verse 15. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do it. You can't be happy as long as you're full of yourself. And we are a people that's, finished a sentence for me, full of ourselves. What we did, what we say, what we teach, what this, we are full of ourselves. I know a man named Jesus Christ that is able to take the hot air and let it out of all the Seventh-day Adventists. Would you agree? Now, does he know where the valve is? Yes, he does. I don't, but he does. A man can't flatten your pride tire, but the Lord can. And so, I was at Wildwood doing a little week of prayer, just a little thing. And my wife wasn't with me. And, you know, I don't have a lot of hair. And what I have is like a puffball. And my wife, by the way, raise your hand, darling, that's my wife. Proverbs 18:22, he that findeth a wife findeth what? It didn't fall out of the sky, because Proverbs 19:14, a prudent wife is from the, and James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Thank you, Lord, for the good wife. And she made me promise I'd moose my hair down before I went out the first night. And I forgot the moose. Now, some of you ladies know what moose is, don't you? Well, what is moose anyway? Phoebe knows what it is. What is moose? It kind of makes your hair. And so, I promised Darlene I'd moose my hair. And this is sticking up. I had a little more back then. It's sticking up like a cotton ball. And I thought, well, I'll use toothpaste. Now, come on, toothpaste is creamy, just like mousse. I toothpaste. And I got a little, it's not going to work. And I thought, well, maybe I can use, and I looked around what I had, deodorant. Deodorant on your head. And then I found it, man. I found it. Shampoo. Now, it looked like mousse. Acts like mousse. Tastes like mousse. I mean, it's a mousse. So I put it on my head. I had this nice suit I'd gotten at the Goodwill store for $6. It looked sharp, navy blue. I was in the Wildwood. I was staying in the hospital at Wildwood. I checked my tie, my coat. I got my Bible. I'd had a couple of verses I was going to use in the meeting, John 3 that night. And I thought, well, I need to check my tie. You don't want to go out with a crooked tie. Went to the mirror, looked in the mirror, and what I saw was my head was full of soap bubbles. And the Lord helped me to see, you finished the sentence for me, that I was no more than a, say it, come on, Christine, say it. Starts with an S. O-A-P-B-U. Thank you. The soap bubble. Is that true? That without him, we amount to no more than soap bubbles? And it really hit home. I think I'm going to go down to the Wildwood Chapel and stand up and talk about Daniel, John chapter 3. Verse 10, and ye are master in Israel and don't know these things. You know, before you can lift somebody up, the Lord has to pull you down. Or humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And then 2 years ago, I mean, it is, the Lord has to keep helping me. I said, Lord, you helped me that night, but I had a problem again today. It's a chronic condition. It's not a lifestyle disease. It's a heart health, and it's not coronary fitness either, right? This is spiritual fitness. Hershey, where is it? Pennsylvania. Did evangelistic meetings there. Oh, Lord have mercy. Pastor Norris, we were trying to plan out the meetings, and he mentioned a cooking school. I'm like, well, yeah, let's culminate things with a cooking class. And he called me back and said, we don't have the budget for that. To bring somebody in is going to cost us so-and-so. I said, Pastor, I'll do the cooking class myself. I didn't tell him I didn't know how to cook. But I was learning, right? I was a work in progress. Darlene is teaching me how to, I learned how to make granola and waffles and bread. What else did I make, honey? I was adding to my repertoire of food. I told the pastor, I said, you know what? We'll do breakfast food. That's all I knew how to cook. I said, we'll do breakfast food, okay? And what we'll do, so we had the meetings. There were 2 weeks of meetings, cooking school at the end. And so the meetings, they went well. We didn't have a big crowd. It was like, not a huge crowd, but we had people coming. Different ones came different nights. And I started to promote the culmination, right, the cooking class. I said, what we're going to do is going to meet early in the morning, going to get some cardiac health, right, going to go for a walk, going to get some aerobic, right, going to get some flexibility, going to do some stretching, and then we're going to get some anaerobic, going to get some strength training, going to have a nice workout, then I'm going to make you breakfast, we're going to have a brunch, have a cook, and do the whole thing in the morning. And everybody that came to every meeting signed up for that thing. We had more people coming to the cooking class than they came to the meetings. They all signed up for it. Here's the problem. You're making waffles and granola for a mountain of people. Are you in trouble? Yes, I was cooking hard. This is as hard as I could go. And soy milk. I was making soy milk and almond milk, three kinds of granola. Bought a second waffle iron off Amazon, and everything was going well. It's like Thursday. Anybody know what a Vitamix is? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was mixing the batter in a Vitamix. I put the top on. You ever turn a Vitamix on high instead of going up? All right, what happens? Yeah, the top blew off the Vitamix. No, the top blew plumb off the Vitamix. And what wasn't a Vitamix was all over the fellowship hall in that Seventh-day Adventist Hershey Church, including me. And my first thought, my very first thought, now Philippians 2, verse 7, he made himself, and it's in the context, I'll use it in the context of John 13. Philippians 2, verse 7, he made himself of no what? Reputation. Now, anybody know verse 8, the first three or four words? And he what? No, that's after the comma. That's after the comma. He humbled himself. Now what you said. He took upon himself the form of a what? Servant. And when you see John 13, that's the servant at work. Is that humbling yourself to be lifted up on the cross and then he lifts us up? That's grace. Man falls, he lifts us back up. Well, the first thought I had, when that, it went everywhere. And that Vitamix, and the first thought I had, there was a door in that fellowship hall. From now, somebody that's proud, tell me what's the first thought a man like that would have. Huh? Uh-uh. That somebody's going to come. That's it. Going to come in that door. I don't know that one of those church members will come in the door and see the chef for the cooking school covered with batter mix. What happens to my reputation? He made himself of no... Dear friends, it's batter mix. If you can't humble yourself over a waffle, how are you going to humble yourself even unto the death of the cross? If I be lifted up, I will. And I knew, I never forgot it. The Lord, first thought, what will people think about me? It's all about egocentric, the world revolves around me. So I cleaned it up. Nobody saw it. And I didn't tell anybody. And went on with the school. Yeah. Isn't that terrible? And then last night, I don't know how I did it. But we're coming down here. We drove down from Butler Creek, which is a little place in Tennessee in the hills. And I was kind of weather-worn and kind of looked rough. I said, well, Darlene, I'll button my shirt up at least, put my shirt tail in, and I'll look civil. And I buttoned my shirt up, came out, and Darlene looked at me. She said, you got a problem. I had taken, I don't know, Darlene said, I don't know how you did it. That's what Darlene, you see what you said, right? I don't know how you did that. You know there's a button-down collar here? I somehow had taken my collar, buttoned it over this button, and then buttoned that over that button. So I had this thing rolled her up around my neck like a dog's leash. I said, let's go to the meeting. And Darlene said, what did you say, go look in the mirror? You couldn't try to do something like that. And I thought, yeah, a soap? My, somebody say it. Bubble. So can failure help a man in his pursuit of excellence? So I was in the Sabbath school class one time. My closing thought on failure. And a lady there, a friend of mine actually, she says, brother, you're talking like you don't believe that God's going to perfect his church. I looked at her. I said, Jude 24, to him that is able to keep you from and present you, Ephesians 5:27, without wrinkle and without, John 8:11, go in, sin no more. And God's going to finish the church. But unfortunately, I work with people that fall. Our patients are guests. They fall. The life in the church militant is not easy. One day it will be the church what? Triumphant. But today, this is where I work. This is where I serve. And when people fall, they need somebody to what? Lift them up. And to be an effective lifter of souls, you need to be first broken down. Yeah. And only the Lord can do that to you, for you, and everything. So my last one, and then I'm going to it'll be done, and then we're going to have lunch. You know, a lot of experiences happen, and I'm going to stop there. Why don't we stand and I'll pray? Yeah, I better stop there. Why don't we stand and I'll pray? I pray. What a blessing it is to be at Uchi Pines, right? Yeah, came here, heard testimonies of how they're using God's methods. Patients are coming to God. Patients are getting healed and everything. Isn't God good? They give us that kind of thing. And I tell you, when I met my wife there, my wife over there, when I met her, she tried to read my palm, and then did my star chart when she had a break between her motorcycle rides. She was a New Age Indian and a mystic and a spiritualist. Believed in reincarnation, out-of-body experiences, and transcendental meditation. And she was a Buddhist. There she is. Raise your hand again, Darlene. There she is. There she is. We're about to celebrate 40 years of marriage. Come on, somebody say amen for that, right? Yes, amen. You know, if they won't get an amen out of you, you're dead. Come on, 40 years in this day and age? And the Lord has given me just the right woman. Can somebody say amen? Elder Chuck Cleveland, did God give you just the right woman? Amen. Yeah. And God's given me just the right church members. Isn't that a blessing? He's put me in just the right place. And today at Uchi Pines, I'm very thankful to be here. I'll pray. All right, our Father in heaven, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. I can't do it without you. It is nearly impossible with you. But with God, all things are possible that you can lift us up. So I'm thankful for the precious souls here at Uchi Pines. Thankful for the Bible truth. Thankful that it has a real power to change our hearts and our lives. And as the Sabbath is coming on very soon, I pray you'll be the best one we've ever had. And as lunch is just around the corner, give us thankful hearts as we partake first and foremost of the spiritual food and then eat what's on the plate. Because we know in Acts 17:28, in Him we live we move, and we have our being. Help us to walk with Jesus today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.